This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Week 4 in the NFL is here, and with it, injury news and notes. Start sits for every single game, including today's early one in London Town, England. And, of course, your texts on the People's Text Line at 590-590. Name and location, please. You can tweet us as well, at SNS Ali with two L's. And at MattyMar89. Mr. Marchese, how are you this morning? Did you catch the Blue Jays and Red Sox last night? Always nice to see the Blue Jays win 10-0, right?
Yeah, I did see that. Hopefully that's a there's a continuation into the playoffs. But you know what, Sho? These are some of my favorite Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I've always envied people that live on the West Coast because their football starts at 10 a.m. A couple times a year, we get to live this where we have football from 9:30 a.m. until like 11:30 at night when the Sunday nighter ends. It's literally a full day of football. And I know there's a lot to get to, especially some big injury news in that one. But my goodness, is this not one of the best days going?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is, I dare say we're in the part of the calendar now, which is probably my favorite time of the sports calendar year, just generally speaking. It's the end of the baseball regular season. Some crazy stuff always happens in the baseball playoffs. The NFL is in full swing. Hockey is going to start back in, what, like 2 weeks? Basketball starts back in 3. It is just, it's like a jam-packed part of the schedule. I know people, it's like a pretty huge cliche. People are like, oh, what's the best part of the sports calendar? This is probably it for me. The only other time that can probably equal this is when I guess the baseball season starts back and you're talking about the preseason and so on. You have the NFL playoffs to a certain degree, the free agency times, and then baseball starts back and you get the hockey and basketball playoffs, which are pretty lengthy, right? So those are the two best times. So we're in a pretty fun part of the calendar.
Yeah, this is my favorite because I love fall because there's, I said this on a show a few weeks ago, there's the optimism. Right. I know when summer comes around, it's like, oh, it's summer and baseball is fine. But you have the optimism of the NFL season and your fantasy teams and the teams that you cheer for. You have the optimism of the hockey season, the basketball season, because, hey, maybe this is our year. And then in baseball, if your team makes the playoffs, it's great. But baseball playoffs are still really exciting. And it's actually one of the better playoffs in sports, dare I say. So, yeah, this is my favorite time of the year. I know everybody likes to say, oh, well, around April because you got the Stanley Cup playoffs. Right. And, you know, and baseball starts up. And when baseball starts up, that's a sign that summer's coming. Whatever. Give me this time of the year every day and twice on Sunday.
Well, it's Sunday, like you mentioned. Week 4 in the NFL is here. Let's check in for some injury updates before we get to the Thursday night reaction. And then the first game we'll go over today is Vikings at Saints, which is, of course, the early game, the 9:30 a.m. Eastern game, 6:30 a.m. Pacific. So if you're up on the West Coast, I hope you are awake to set your lineups because some notable players out, including Michael Thomas. And this just in, I think this was actually tweeted out from Stacey Dales from NFL Network, Canada's own Stacey Dales. And she tweeted out, Saints coach Dennis Allen just confirmed to me Alvin Kamara will not play. Alvin Kamara is not going to play with the rib injury. Jarvis Landry is going to play. But if you have Kamara in your lineups, get him out of there. Jameis Winston also not going to play. So, and Michael Thomas not playing as well. So some big absences for the New Orleans Saints on the other side of the ocean there. But apart from those guys, Mac Jones, Dak Prescott, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Kadarius Toney, let's see here, Boston Scott, Hunter Renfrow, Keenan Allen, Brevin Jordan, all not playing today. Miles Garrett, if you're in an IDP league, he has also been downgraded to out after pretty scary. He was in a car accident. His car flipped over, which is pretty crazy. But seems to be okay. But they are, I think erring on the side of caution with Miles Garrett. So he's not playing. Bears kicker Cairo Santos did not travel with the team to New York for personal reasons, according to Adam Schefter. Michael Badgley former Chargers kicker, has been signed to the practice squad and elevated to the active roster. Jacoby Myers is out for today's game against Green Bay. Cole Beasley has been elevated from the practice squad to the active roster for the Bucs against the Chiefs. Let's see here. I mentioned no Amon-Ra St. Brown, no DeAndre Swift, no DJ Chark as well. A lot of weapons missing for Jared Goff, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling is planning to play later today against the Bucs. Let's see here. I don't think I'm missing too many. Christian McCaffrey listed as questionable, Matt. He had the thigh/quad injury, is likely to play, although he did miss a couple of practices last week. So are we in for a timeshare there? Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, both listed as questionable, both expected to play. This will be Rondale Moore's 2022 regular season debut. And your Buffalo Bills, Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, both listed as questionable, and they're both expected to play against the Baltimore Ravens. That should be a pretty fun game today.
Show that. Firstly, it will be, but that was a mouthful. Like, that's a lot of people. Really good players.
I didn't
players
even get to all of them. There's a whole bunch more.
I know. I know. It's insane. And unfortunately, this is what happens in this sport. I mean, it's a lengthy list. There's lots of stars on that list. And this is why you listen to us, to help navigate through these injuries, because there's lots of options out there for you this week. But yeah, and the Bills and Ravens game will be fun. My only concern is if the weather starts to get bad, because that's not good for my Buffalo Bills.
No.
And if the weather gets bad, that might mean a lot of Josh Allen rushing, which I'm fine for fantasy purposes, but for real life purposes, I like my quarterback upright. And that's a good way to keep him upright, is throwing the ball. So hopefully he doesn't have to run too much today.
I genuinely wonder if the weather gets not so great. I honestly wonder what the odds are on both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen leading their respective team in rushing. Like, I honestly wonder. I bet you can get some pretty good odds on that.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I would bet on it if the weather was bad. As much as I like J.K. Dobbins, the Bills' run defense has been really good, but it's more just Lamar Jackson. A lot of his runs are not really designed runs. They're, you know, hey, nobody's open downfield, I'm going to take off, and I'm really good at it. So try and catch me if you can.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun watching Lamar Jackson. It's funny. I think these are probably the top two MVP candidates right now: Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. But we'll get to the Ravens Bills game a little later on. A couple more injury updates: Chris Godwin and Julio Jones both listed as questionable. Bucks are optimistic they will both be able to play Sunday night, but Tampa wants to test both of them pregame to make sure. So good news if you're an owner of either of them, but also good news, I would imagine, if you're an owner of Tom Brady, who has been basically a QB2 for much of the season. Jaguars wide receiver Zay Jones, a very popular waiver pickup, listed as questionable with an ankle injury, is expected to play against the Eagles. And Falcons running back Cordarrelle Patterson, listed as questionable with a knee injury, plans to play versus the Browns, but will not know for sure until he tests the injury pregame. According to Adam Schefter, as one source says, quote unquote, it is close. So we'll have to keep monitoring that one closer to game time. But I think you can probably plan on having Patterson play. Let's get to the Thursday nighter really quickly here. And of course, the big news out of the Thursday nighter was the handling of the Tua Tagovailoa concussion protocol, the concussion injury. Of course, he got injured again. It certainly looks like he is okay, which is good for now, but he is, I believe he is out, I think, indefinitely, right, Matt?
I would think so, based on everything that I've heard and read. This could potentially be a season ending type of injury from some people in the neurological field that I've read and heard from. Listen, at the end of the day, I know that an unaffiliated person, whoever the doctor was or whatever, the medical staff that cleared him to go back in the Sunday game against the Bills, has been fired. Unsurprisingly, this is the fall guy. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, it's important to remember the Dolphins staff have final say on sideline and locker room evaluations. And as we know, the Miami Dolphins have already been involved in controversy as it pertains to the tampering of Tom Brady and Sean Payton, as well as the alleged tanking stuff with Brian Flores. And let's not forget, they put Matt Moore back in a playoff game in 2017 after basically being knocked out. He missed two plays.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is nothing new. This is not just on the Dolphins. Lots of teams do this. I just hate the Dolphins, so they're going to get my vigor this morning. What it does for fantasy purposes, I mean, like, I know we don't want to spend too much time on the whole Tua thing, but Teddy Bridgewater actually didn't look horrible when he went in. I'm not quite ready to completely downgrade the pass catchers. And I think the one big takeaway from that game from the Miami perspective is Chase Edmonds is the clear lead option in the red zone, but he's becoming incredibly touchdown dependent because Raheem Mostert out-touched him again for the second straight week.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds had 7 total touches in that game. It's crazy. He had 2 catches, he had 5 carries for 6 yards, and I think he basically salvaged his outing with a touchdown because other than that, he had 2 catches for 14 yards and 5 carries for 6 yards. Raheem Mostert had 2 catches for 12 yards and 15 carries for 69 yards. I still think Chase Edmonds, Matt, is a clear hold at the very least. You're not dropping or trading him. If only because I can't remember. I legitimately can't remember the last time Raheem Mostert finished a season completely healthy. And maybe a bit of a split here will preserve him to a certain degree. And it's not super shocking because, of course, Mike McDaniel comes from the San Francisco offense. So he kind of brought Mostert over with him. But still, 15 carries for 69 yards versus 5 carries for Chase Edmonds. Clearly, Raheem Mostert is the guy there for now. And if Teddy Bridgewater is the new starting quarterback for any given amount of time here, I got to imagine that they're going to lean on the run game a little more.
Yeah, I would think so. The Mostert thing is super interesting, only because we always say follow the money. And in this case, Chase Edmonds is the guy who got the long-term contract.
Right.
And yet, he's not getting the touches that we thought. Having said that, we know that Raheem Mostert comes from San Francisco, which, like you mentioned, Mike McDaniel does as well. I do think, like you said, they're going to lean on the run game a little bit more with Tua out. But Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, let's see what he does with a full week of practicing with the first team and or a week and a half almost. I think Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to be just fine. Is Teddy Bridgewater as good as Tua? He might actually be. I know some people will say, what are you talking about? That's crazy. We've seen enough from what Tua is. Maybe in this offense, Teddy Bridgewater is just fine as well.
Yeah, we'll have to see what Teddy Bridgewater looks like. Again, Jalen Waddle ended this game with 2 catches for 39 yards. I'm not 100% worried until we see maybe a week or two of Jalen Waddle with Teddy, but it's just something to keep an eye on for now because Jalen Waddle had
Don't forget that Tyreek Hill had 2 catches for 33 yards against the Bills the week before.
That's true.
Right? So, I mean, it could just be one of those scenarios. Like, they're not going to pop off every week, both of them. But it could be a one-week-on, one-week-off scenario all season. Just depends on how the defense plays them.
We basically said that people were kind of wondering whether or not the Miami Dolphins offense could support 2 WR1s. And it certainly looked like it. But you never want to draw conclusions about a whole team's offense after like 2.5 weeks, essentially, right? So I think we'll have to see what a quarterback change does to this. But it certainly looks like Tyreek Hill is as close to quarterback proof as possible. He still ended that game with 10 catches for 160 yards, which is absolutely insane. So Tyreek Hill is still going to be at the top or near the top of most WR1 lists, I would imagine. Bengals side of things, real quick. Ja'Marr Chase, 4 catches for 81 yards, including a pretty long one towards the end of this game. But T. Higgins, 7 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown. He just continues to produce. He is, like, it is truly crazy. We talk about an offense that can maybe support 2 WR1s. T. Higgins, like, we talk about Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins as though they're like a WR1, WR2 combo. It more seems like it's a 1A, 1B combo. And even that, I feel like, is being a little less generous towards Higgins than I'd like to be.
Yeah, Higgins has been a beast, and he finished the year really well last year. He missed a couple of games because of injury, and Ja'Marr Chase took advantage of that. Ja'Marr Chase had an incredible year last year. Let's not take that away. But the way that the Dolphins played them, they were, you know, the one on the touchdown catch, they shadowed 2 safeties over to Ja'Marr Chase's side, and I know it's Xavier Howard. But T. Higgins beat him clean, and then Joe Burrow kind of drops it in the bucket. It was a little bit further behind Higgins, but he made a great catch. And then Xavier Howard falls, and there's your long touchdown. I mean, if teams are going to continue to do that, and they're going to try and double Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins is going to have a field day almost every single week because he's too good to not have extra attention paid to him. that's the luxury that they have, having both of those receivers. And even though Tyler Boyd was not really involved too much, he's still a really good receiver. So, I mean, there's a lot to like in that offense. As it pertains to the running game, I mean, Joe Mixon, he had the touchdown and he had a few catches, which was good for his fantasy value. But my God, he needs help from that O-line. They're just, they don't block worth a crap for Joe Mixon. It's brutal. But Joe Mixon's still going to have value. He's still going to be the guy who gets the majority of the touches. And I think the good thing for a lot of Joe Burrow fans and Joe Burrow managers, that Joe Burrow had a much better game. Didn't turn the ball over. He's only sacked one time, I believe. So a big, big difference for that Bengals offense. And it does feel like they've kind of figured things out, at least for the time being.
Thank you for censoring yourself when talking about Joe Mixon.
I almost did it, Joe. I almost did it.
Let's get to the rest of our start sits here. And of course, we're going to start with the Vikings at Saints, the London game. And again, you can text us as well, 590-590 on the People's Text Line for any start sit questions. We got to all of your text questions at the top of the next hour. And again, if we don't get to any of them on the air, we will answer all of them off the air before the games. Well, at the very least, before the 1 p.m. games go. So if you have any questions about the game that start before 9:30, maybe we can throw a couple in. We'll prioritize the London text, and then we'll get to the rest of them after this, since the game starts half an hour after we do the text at the top of the next hour. But I did see a text here on the text line really quickly. There was no name on this one, but it was from a GTA area code. Game in London today will be raining. Take the under. And you look at the rest of this lineup here. I mean, if you're a Saints fan, Matt, you probably are lowering your expectations by the minute, because no Jameis Winston, he is out. No Alvin Kamara, he is out with a rib injury. And no Michael Thomas, he is out as well with that foot, toe, ankle injury, whatever's going on there. He was ruled out really quickly, so we'll have to monitor that as we go through the rest of the season, because those kinds of injuries can sometimes linger. But Jarvis Landry, he is playing. Chris Olave is probably my favorite question mark for this game, because I think he has been kind of like a mid to low end WR2 for most of the season so far, this very young season. He's a rookie. He's still adjusting to the NFL as a whole. But I mean, he is probably the best start today from the entire New Orleans Saints lineup, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. He was drafted where he was drafted in the first round for very good reason. Through the first three games, he has 17 catches for 268 yards. He had the big week last week, and that was kind of the one. I think he ended up finishing with 13 targets. He had 9 catches for 147 yards. Like, that's a monster game. He's going to be the focal point of this offense. I like Jarvis Landry in a start here as well, because there's no Michael Thomas. He's going to operate underneath. Andy Dalton will use him. Am I rushing to start Andy Dalton? Hell no. That's not even a question. But I think those two receivers will be viable in PPR formats, because I think the Saints are going to have to throw the ball to stay in this game. And the Vikings, believe it or not, are actually not very good against the run. They've allowed the fourth most running back points per game. And, you know, is Mark Ingram a good start? I mean, there's a chance Mark Ingram gets into the end zone, but that's the only thing that I'm kind of hoping for if I'm starting him in a flex spot. They brought up Latavius Murray, who has a history with the New Orleans Saints. I would envision that this is a committee backfield here. Tony Jones Jr. is probably going to be in the mix as well. But yeah, no, it's Landry and it's Olave for me, and that's pretty much it from the New Orleans side of things.
Yeah, let's hope the Saints make a visit to the Olave Garden. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. Even though as an Italian, that's like sacrilege to go to Olive Garden. Family dining. Yeah, okay, sure. I like the name. I'm all for it. And I have Olave in one league specifically that I need to win. So yes, all the Olave Garden for me.
Do those exist in Canada? They do, right?
I don't know if they do. I know they used to, didn't do very well, because we clearly have a more refined palate than our neighbors below us in the United States of America. But I digress. I think I remember one specifically in Brampton where I grew up. Other than that, I don't know if there are any more here.
I don't think there are. I don't think there are anymore. I feel like unless there's one like hiding in the suburbs somewhere. But anyway, so that's the quick check of the start sit for our London game, Vikings at Saints. And again, you can text us questions at 590-590, name and location on the People's text line. We'll get to all of those at the top of the next hour. Let's keep moving on. Browns at Falcons. And another interesting one, because the Falcons are potentially missing Cordarrelle Patterson. Looks like he will try and give it a go. It's a real game-time decision. They're going to test his knee in pregame warm-ups. But if he doesn't go, I still think, I mean, you're still going to start Drake London. You're still starting probably Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts also, I don't think anyone was dropping Kyle Pitts or getting rid of him by any means, because he was drafted pretty highly, I would imagine. But finally, he looked a little better. It was, I don't know if it was like a quite a breakout game, but still, 5 receptions on 8 targets for 87 yards, the best game of the season to date. And you're hoping he can build on it here against the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I said he was going to go 7 for 107 and a touchdown. I mean, I tried. Browns are tough against the tight end position, but Kyle Pitts isn't really a tight end at this point. We know that. Drake London, absolutely, you're starting him. He's been incredible. Way better than I thought he was going to be.
Sure, yeah.
And the Browns are giving up the 10th most points to wide receivers through the first 3 weeks. So I think he's in for a pretty good game. The Browns defense just generally hasn't been good. They've given up more points than I thought they would have. If no Cordarrelle Patterson, this is probably a tough spot for Tyler Allgeier. The Browns are 21st against the run in terms of fantasy points per game. He's going to get run if Cordarrelle Patterson isn't playing, just because that's the run that Patterson's been getting. Is he going to get the same amount of touches? No. But I figure if Patterson doesn't play, you could probably lock him in for 15 touches this week, which puts him in the volume-based flex category, because how many other guys are going to get 15 touches? So he might be okay. I would temper my expectations for Allgeier in this matchup if Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't go.
Here's a wild stat about the Atlanta backfield. Cordarrelle Patterson has 49 carries versus Allgeier, who only has 16. And that includes having had Damian Williams on IR since week 2, right? It's week 4 now. They said in the offseason, this Falcons team, and I know that's kind of probably coach speak to a certain degree, but they had said they were going to try and limit Cordarrelle Patterson's touches to a certain degree. And in 3 games, he has 120 total snaps. He leads the backfield with a 62.2% snap share. The Browns have given up the 12th fewest fantasy points to running backs, but also they are going to be without Myles Garrett after that car accident. So whoever suits up at running back, you can probably, like you said, Matt, start them in a volume-based role. But it certainly looks like it's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson. And on the other side of things, the Browns, I mean, you're starting Nick Chubb. He is the number 2 fantasy running back, period. Like in any format, he is number 2. I mean, look, a lot of the running backs, especially the top guys, have somewhat disappointed so far this season, but Nick Chubb has been as steady as they come, even in full or half PPR leagues. So you're starting him no matter what. I think you can probably still flex Kareem Hunt, but the interesting conversation around the Cleveland Browns, for me, focuses on Amari Cooper and David Njoku. David Njoku caught 9 of 10 targets for 89 yards and a touchdown. Easily his best game of the season. And the Atlanta defense gives up the 2nd most fantasy points to tight ends. Like just the week before, the Falcons allowed Seattle's Will Dissly to catch all 3 targets for 34 yards and a touchdown. Week 2, they caught Tyler Higbee caught 7 of 9 targets for 71 yards. Clearly the Falcons defense is awful at covering tight ends. Are you starting David Njoku this week?
Yeah, oh yeah, I am. He's David Njoku, I think, is a top 5 tight end play this week. And it's not based. Listen, Jacoby Brissett, who also is a low key interesting start, considering the Falcons have given up the 10th most points to fantasy quarterbacks. I mean, he targets the tight end position a lot over the course of his career. And at the end of the day, show outside of Amari Cooper, like I like Donovan Peoples-Jones as a receiver. I think David Bell will eventually be a good receiver in the NFL. But for right now, David Njoku is number 2. In this passing offense, as far as I'm concerned. And in a game that, listen, the Falcons have been able to score points. They haven't been able to keep them off the board. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. And the Browns, listen, they gave up 31 to the Jets and Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett is not any better or worse than Joe Flacco. So there's a high opportunity for lots of scoring here. And I think David Njoku is in that category. Kareem Hunt is the other guy. He's currently RB14. He's a little bit hit and miss with his usage, but he's been able to get into the end zone and he's used in the passing game. He's probably the third option in the passing game for the Browns. This is, again, surprisingly, one of those games where you're like, wow, there's lots of fantasy options here. I love Njoku this week against the Falcons. Falcons, like you said, they stink against opposing tight ends. You can lock him in to your lineups. Hey, and you know what, Joe? If you picked David Njoku late because you took Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce or Kyle Pitts, start him in a flex spot. You will not be disappointed.
Ooh, I think there was a couple of text questions about do I start David Njoku in a flex option this week. So, hey, maybe that answered some people's questions there. And, yeah, Kareem Hunt, like you said, shockingly, even though Chubb has been so talented this year, as he has been since he entered the NFL, he still only holds a 56.2% to 49.3% advantage on snap percentage. It's just Hunt just hasn't scored all that much this season. So maybe that changes against, like you said, an abysmal Falcons defense. But the Atlanta's kind of the middle of the road against the run, right? Seventh fewest fantasy points, but still that's only through three games, and they probably haven't played running backs as talented as Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Before we hit a quick break, let's do one more. Your Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. Like we said, there's a possibility weather does affect things in this one, but a lot of fantasy-relevant players, right? I mean, you're starting Lamar Jackson. You're starting Mark Andrews. I think for the Ravens, the questions really surround how much do you want to start? How much do you feel you need to start, maybe is a better way of saying it. J.K. Dobbins, he saw a 44% snap share in his first game back from ACL, but I think they were clearly easing him back in. I will say there was a couple of plays last week where he definitely looked like, to me, where he outran the offensive line. And I don't know if it was just him being not super patient or he just really wanted to show off in his first game back. But he looked pretty spry. He just didn't get a ton of carries. And, of course, Lamar Jackson is the true RB1 in that offense. But apart from J.K. Dobbins, Rashad Bateman, the other guy, because he is – I mean, he caught a very long touchdown and still only 16 targets this year. So he has to continue to be pretty efficient if you're starting him in your lineups.
Yeah, and he has been, and he goes up against the Buffalo defense, who, frankly, in their secondary is broken. I think Jordan Poyer's going to go today. It looks like Dane Jackson's going to go today as well, but they're without Micah Hyde. They're without Tre'Davious White. Kair Elam he's shown that he's been okay, but he's also shown his warts as a rookie. And listen, that's gonna happen. At the end of the day, I think that Rashad Bateman is a good start. Matt Milano's gonna have his hands full on defense with Mark Andrews, but we know what Mark Andrews is. Mark Andrews is a stud, and Christian Benford is the other guy, broken hand. He's gonna be out for a couple weeks. So that secondary is really banged up. I think you're okay starting Rashad Bateman. It could be a situation, though, like you said, Joe, where the weather plays a factor. But if not, I think it's pretty straightforward what we're doing here.
On the Buffalo side of things, I just want to ask you this, because, I mean, Gabe Davis is going to be tested. It looks like he will give it a go. If he starts, I think you start him for the most part, because the Baltimore Ravens pass defense is nothing to write home about either. You're obviously starting Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. The running game is so interesting because you and I are pretty low on Devin Singletary from a fantasy perspective. I think he's like a pretty good real life running back, all things considered. But generally speaking, fantasy wise, not the most relevant. But here's the thing: he had 9 carries for 13 yards, which is pretty awful last week. But he had 9 of 11. He caught 9 of 11 targets for 78 yards and a touchdown. He ran a season high 32 routes. Now, that was because of the injuries on the offensive line and to the receiver rotation. It looks like Dawson Knox is going to play. Like I said, looks like Gabe Davis is going to play as well, in addition to Isaiah McKenzie, who played last week. So knowing that he's probably not going to reel in 9 of 11 targets again, even see 11 targets, what do you do about Devin Singletary?
I think you can try him out in a flex spot. He has at least 2 catches in all 3 games. And obviously last week was a bit of an anomaly with the 9 catches on 11 targets, but the rushing numbers just haven't been there. The last 2 weeks, he's averaged 3.2 yards per carry, and last week, 1.4 yards per carry. His week one against the Rams, he was great. He had eight rushes for 48 yards, and he's kind of just a touchdown-dependent running back at this point in an offense that basically wants to throw the ball like 80% of the time or whatever the number is, but it feels like it's pretty close to that. He's a little bit of a desperation flex play. The only thing going for him is potentially the weather here, where they use dump-offs instead of trying to throw the ball deep. The wind, they're supposed to be potentially 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I mean, that's nothing for Josh Allen. That guy could probably throw the ball through a tornado just because of his arm strength. But yeah, I would be really leery about Devin Singletary. A little bit of a flex play option. Certainly, at best, he's like a mid-range RB2 if he has a good game.
I remember that game against the Patriots last year where Mac Jones threw the ball like three times or whatever it was, and it was like super windy. And I remember towards the end of the game, I mean, the Patriots did win that game, but I do remember Josh Allen towards the end of that game, he just muscled that ball downfield into the hands of, I think it was Dawson Knox, and he basically forced the ball through Mother Nature into the hands of Knox. It was very impressive. So you're right, that guy has an absolute cannon, as we all know. So I think you can probably still feel okay about the passing game, especially Stephon Diggs and some of the dump off passes as well, but just keep in mind that the weather may play an issue here. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to the start sits. And don't forget, you can still send us your text line questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. I see a whole bunch here. We'll get to as many as we can at the top of the next hour. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you for week four in the NFL. An early game today in London, England, between the Vikings and Saints. So don't forget to set your lineups. But apart from that, still, we'll get to all your injury updates, news and notes, start sits, and of course, your texts and tweets on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We'll get to as many as we can at the top of the next hour. You can also tweet us at SNS Ali with two L's. At Matty Mar 89. Let's continue our start sit, Matt, and let's go to the Commanders at Cowboys, your favorite team name in the Commanders, but we'll go to, why don't we start with Washington, actually. Carson Wentz got, it was crazy to watch last week.
Because he got killed.
After the first 2 weeks, people were like, oh, Carson Wentz is back. The MVP from Philly is back. And then he got absolutely smoked. My goodness, the entire Washington offense was shut out basically for the entire game. I guess it's possible. I feel like it's probably pretty likely there's at least some kind of bounce back just because it was so awful last week. But still, the Cowboys defense is no slouch. Even with no Dak Prescott, you still figure that the Cowboys offense will manage to stay on the field a decent amount of time, and they're going to have to if they want to win this game. So Carson Wentz, I think I'm probably sitting him. If you're not in a 2QB league, if you're in a 1QB league, I'm probably just sitting him this weekend. I'm not sure you can really risk it at this point in the season. Antonio Gibson and JD McKissick are probably both flex plays at best. And the number one guy, the number one receiver I feel most comfortable with volume-wise is still Curtis Samuel, which is crazy. I still think Terry McLaurin is incredibly talented, and I think on a team that used him in the way, let's say, the Bills used Stephon Diggs, I honestly think we talk about Terry McLaurin more, but that's just not how this offense works.
No, it's not, and Curtis Samuel, this is his breakout, and I knock on wood here because we've seen him have some success at this level and then get hurt, and then we never hear from him again for like 2 years. But he's playing well right now, and it's a lot of underneath stuff with him. They use him out of the backfield. They use him kind of all over the place, which is smart because he's super talented. They need to get Terry McLaurin more involved, and I would assume that this is a game that they are going to be playing from behind, even with Cooper Rush as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. The defense for Washington just hasn't been very good this season. So I would anticipate that this is going to be a game where Carson Wentz needs to throw the ball. I think we're going to get a lot of usage from Gibson and McKissick in the passing game, which obviously helps if you're in half PPR and PPR formats. But yeah, I would temper my expectations here. The Dallas pass rush has been incredible all season. Yeah. Micah Parsons is playing at a defensive player of the year kind of level and may actually be, outside of Aaron Donald, maybe the most feared defensive player right now. Like, dare I say that? Yeah. But he's been excellent. He's on the field a lot. Look for him for a few sacks today. And if you're rostering the Dallas defense, I think it's going to be a really good game for them. I'm not very optimistic about Carson Wentz's chances here.
I'm just looking at some of the numbers for J.D. McKissic specifically, and I mentioned him as a flex play. On passing downs, he has 6.3 targets per game, 5.3 receptions per game. He has basically finished as a flex play every week this year, and I don't think that's going to change too much. I feel like his value, maybe not non-existent, but is largely mostly in half or preferably full PPR leagues because he gets a lot of catches. So I like, if you're in a full PPR league, I like the J.D. McKissic play. Terry McLaurin. I'm putting him as a WR3 this week just because it's gonna be an inconsistent ride for Scary Terry / F1. He's very talented, like I said. And I'm sitting Jahan Dotson. It was the first time he did not catch a touchdown, and he was targeted 5 times. He only caught 2 catches for 10 yards, and he's obviously third in the pecking order, even though he is very talented. It's just probably not the best matchup for Jahan Dotson. On the Dallas Cowboys side of things, Cooper Rush is, I don't think he has ever lost a game when he has started for the Dallas Cowboys, which is crazy. Not just this year, but last year as well, which is pretty crazy. Having said that, are you starting him even in super flex leagues? Probably not. Probably not. I think we're going to see a lot of runs. It does mean for Ezekiel Elliott that I was a little worried about his usage going into everything, and then, of course, Dak Prescott went down. I thought to myself, oh, boy, here we go. They're going to just stack the box against Ezekiel Elliott. They're still feeding him, but he had a pretty good game this past Monday night against the Giants, right? He had 73 yards on 15 carries. He scored a touchdown. I would say, I don't know where you fall on Zeke, but I would say he falls into that flex category with the upside of an RB2, which seems like a pretty big discrepancy when I say it out loud. But still, Zeke is still talented. It's just, I don't know what his usage is on a regular basis.
And that's what the issue becomes, because in a game like this, I think you can pretty much count on a lot of Ezekiel Elliott, just because I think the scoreline is going to dictate that much. But Tony Pollard's getting run here. Like, Tony Pollard is in the running back 2 conversation. At this point, he is running back 22. Ezekiel Elliott falls in at RB 36 in half PPR formats. I mean, outside of those two, like CeeDee Lamb, he had that incredible catch last week. The big question here is Michael Gallup. No, apparently no limitations at practice. It was a full participant. He's going to go today. But I'm scared to start him only because he may very well be on a snap count. And I don't necessarily trust him until Dak Prescott comes back, which it looks like he is eyeing a return for week 5. So next week against the LA Rams. So that should be very interesting to see how this offense looks when he comes back. But I would be leery about starting Michael Gallup this week.
Yeah, I think if you're in an absolute desperation spot, I think you can start Gallup. But other than that, yeah, I think it's the only options you can feel really comfortable with are CeeDee Lamb and Zeke and Tony Pollard, really, if you're on the Cowboy side of things at least. But and Dalton Schultz, by the way, he was limited all week, but it does look like he is going to suit up today. So just you can start him if you want. I would just be leery, like you said, of snap counts, and maybe they might not give him a full workload if he has been questionable all week, but it does look like he will play, which is good to hear. Let's go move on. Seahawks at Lions. And I mentioned the Lions, lots of guys out for the Detroit Lions. No DeAndre Swift, no Amon-Ra St. Brown, no DJ Chark, which I would imagine means move certainly Jamal Williams up into the RB2 range, which is what he certainly looked like last week after Swift missed time. And it certainly sounds like, because the Lions have a relatively early bye, I believe they have a week 6 bye, which means that if they want to be super cautious with some of these guys, you can have the Lions sit out Swift this week in week 4, Swift and St. Brown maybe in this week in week 4, maybe in week 5 as well. They have the bye in week 6, and we see them again in week 7. Great for real life, keeping your stars healthy. Not so great for fantasy football purposes. But Jamal Williams, if you have him, you're starting him because he's an RB2. And for the pass catching options for Jared Goff on this offense. TJ Hockenson probably gets a big bump just because of sheer volume. Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond are the next guys up. Are you starting either of Josh Reynolds or Khalif Raymond?
Raymond had a good week last week, and that was because of the injury to Amon-Ra St. Brown and then eventually DeAndre Swift. The Seahawks at this point they're not a very good defense, and they've allowed they're good against wide receivers, 27th fewest points against wide receivers. They're not great against running backs, so it's a good start for Jamal Williams. My only concern with Jamal Williams is, are they going to be just keying in on the run game to try and stop them and say, hey, you know, try and beat us with Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond? And I think that's part of the issue at hand here with Jamal Williams. He's going to get the volume, there's no question, but he doesn't catch a ton of passes. That's usually designated for DeAndre Swift. But I think Josh Reynolds is the start here. I like you said, Hockenson gets a bump. I'm fine with that. At the end of the day, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And for me, it's Josh Reynolds. Khalif Raymond is a sneaky play to catch a touchdown just because he's a real speed demon, and he's used a lot on deep routes. He certainly showed out well last season when they had all the injuries, and he was pretty decent, but I would be tempering my expectations there. Josh Reynolds is the only wide receiver I'm very interested in starting.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And there is something to be said that there is some history and probably some chemistry between Jared Goff and Josh Reynolds going back to when they were both with the Rams. So there's something to be said for that. I do think ultimately this is probably the only week you'll be able to start Josh Reynolds. Maybe next week if Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't play. But you got to remember when Jameson Williams comes back from the injury list, certainly. I mean, he is a rookie, and it is going to take him some time to get acclimatized to this offense. But when he does come back, that is going to push everybody else down the list at least a little bit. It'll probably push DJ Chark as well. So, you know, if DJ Chark gets pushed to the third option, then is Josh Reynolds really worth rostering as a WR4? Probably not. So if you want to play him, you can probably play him this week, but that's probably going to be it. On the Seahawks side of things, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they actually, shockingly, with Russell Wilson leaving town and Geno Smith under center, neither of them have taken a massive step back. Certainly, that maybe the ceilings are not as high as you would have hoped for, but generally speaking, they have been okay this week in a sense that you can probably get away with starting either of them. Will Disley has some value as well, but the Lions allow 41.27 points to the wide receiver position per week, which is in the bottom 10. They are rated the 30th worst pass defense by PFF.com in terms of coverage. Like, it's all bad when it comes to the Lions pass defense. So you can expect Geno Smith to air it out today with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Will Disley.
Yeah, if you go on to fantasypros.com and you look at the numbers for the Detroit Lions, giving up the third most points per game to QB, the most points to running back. So Rashad Penny, if there was a week Rashad Penny was going to break out, it's probably this week. The 8th most points to wide receivers, the 11th most points to tight ends. The only place that they are good is against opposing kickers and opposing defenses because they've been able to put up points. That is it. So I think and you know what? Tyler Lockett has been really good. Here's the issue at hand here, though. DK Metcalf, my concern is if he gets locked up with Jeff Okuda, that's a problem. Jeff Okuda locked down Devonta Smith in week one. He locked down Terry McLaurin in week two, and he locked down like crazy Justin Jefferson last week. If DK Metcalf goes up against Jeff Okuda, I'm really scared for DK Metcalf's fantasy numbers this week. I think Lockett is actually the best wide receiver play. He clearly has a rapport with Geno Smith, and he's going to be playing a lot out of the slot. They'll move him out wide here and there. Unless they plan on getting Metcalf away from Okuda, I really like Lockett over Metcalf this week.
Yeah, you would hope that the Seahawks will move DK Metcalf around so he gets his chances, because outside of Metcalf and Lockett, no one else on the Seahawks has seen more than 5 targets in a single game, right? And I think there was some hope that maybe Noah Fant was going to be a guy who was included in the various fantasy outputs here, maybe Will Dissly as well. And they kind of, like, Will Dissly certainly has been, Noah Fant not so much, but you're right. If Metcalf sees Okuda, and you got to think that he will be the guy who sees the primary coverage from the defense. So if that's the case, then yeah, Lockett might be the better play this week, maybe as a WR2 to, maybe they're both WR2s and one is a higher end WR2 versus a lower end one. And why don't we move on here to Chargers at Texans, and let's start with the Chargers because no Keenan Allen. So with no Keenan Allen, and again, that hamstring injury, those things can linger. So we'll have to continue monitoring what the coaches say between now and the rest of the, maybe for the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. But I think that basically bumps everyone in the pass catching offense up a little bit. Mike Williams gets a bump. Gerald Everett gets a bump. Canada's own Josh Palmer, he gets a bump. And look, is this the week Austin Ekeler finally scores a touchdown? I sure hope for your sake, if you have him, that it is, because you probably drafted him in the top three or the top five or something like that. And he hasn't been particularly good this season. So with no Keenan Allen, maybe Justin Herbert spreads it around a little more. But the usage for Austin Ekeler has been a little concerning so far this season.
It's not even concerning. It is concerning, but also, it doesn't make any sense. It's not as if Sony Michel looks like he did when he played at Georgia or something. It's not like Josh Kelly has lit the world on fire. Like, I don't understand what exactly they're doing. Certainly, he's been involved in the passing game. He leads all running backs in catches, but everything else does not make sense. Austin Ekeler's a good running back. I don't understand why they're not using him, but I do agree with your assessment. Everybody gets a bump. I'd be firing up Josh Palmer because Josh Palmer has been good in the absence of Keenan Allen. Like, he had a big week last week. He caught the touchdown against the Chiefs, which kind of saved his fantasy week in the Thursday nighter a couple weeks ago. But Josh Palmer, the last 2 weeks, has 17 targets and he has 10 catches. Last week, he went 6 for 99, no score. The week before against the said Chiefs, went 4 catches, 30 yards, but had the touchdown. So he's double-digit fantasy points in the 2 weeks that Keenan Allen's been out. I'd be firing him up wherever I have him.
Yeah, he had a not-so-great week one, but he did follow it up with weeks of 13 and 15.9, respectively. So he did obviously replace Keenan Allen to a certain degree. So if you're missing Allen, he could be a nice start. So definitely keep an eye on Josh Palmer. I think you're probably not starting him over your studs because, you know, we always say in fantasy football, right, start your studs. But I think Josh Palmer is not a bad play whatsoever. On the Houston Texans side of things, a pretty short conversation. It's Damian Pierce and it's Brandon Cooks. I don't think you're starting anyone else.
No, not at this point. I mean, do you remember when we talked about Rex Burkhead getting all these snaps? Ooh. I mean, boy, was I wrong there. Listen, at the end of the day, Damian Pierce is the clear RB1 on this team. The Chargers' run defense has improved, but Pierce is going to get plenty of opportunities. For me, he's kind of a volume-based RB2. But in a game where I think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, I don't know what his usage is going to be. He's probably in for 15 touches. Listen, the Texans, for the most part, have been able to keep games sort of close.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a case where this game is closer than we think, and it's a lot of them just trying to run out the clock, much like we're running the clock out on our lives when we watch the Houston Texans play football. Wow. But yeah, it's not fun. But I do think that he has some value in that RB2 role, or RB2 in fantasy role going forward, and today is no different.
The Chargers give up 20 points per game to running backs. That's one of the league's worst marks. And they just generally have not looked good this year. They have a rash of injuries on the offense and on defense. Bosa looks like, I don't think he's done for the year, but he is out certainly this
week. 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah. Like,
8 to 10 weeks. They said this morning. So he's and I think Joey Bosa is a great player,
sure, yeah.
But like death taxes and the Bosa brothers getting hurt for extended periods.
Yeah, I hope they both come back and are healthy, but I mean, they have both been pretty, I don't want to say injury prone necessarily, but they've suffered a lot of injuries in their short careers so far. So with no Bosa for the Chargers, I think you can feel a little bit better about starting Damian Pierce, who is clearly the RB1 in this offense. I think, yeah, like you said, RB2 overall. And Brandon Cooks, he just gets, I know he had a bit of a dud, but the Chargers give up an average of 26 points per game, and he has just an absurd target share. 29 targets so far on the season is good for 49% among Texans wide receivers and 35% just among wide receivers and tight ends. I know the targets don't matter in the end if he's not actually turning them into fantasy points, but still, I think generally speaking, I will probably always look at Cooks unless it drastically changes as maybe like a WR3 with higher upside just because of sheer volume, Matt.
Yeah, that's 100% how you have to look at it. He's Mr. Reliable, generally speaking. And much like we talked about with the Cleveland Browns offense, who else is there to throw to? Like, Nico Collins has been a bit of a dud. And outside of that, I mean, they literally don't throw to anybody else. So Brandon Cooks, I start him every week, even with poor QB play. I think Brandon Cooks is just fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think you'll take that kind of target share from any fantasy player. So whenever you get that, you definitely can slot them into your starting lineup. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get to all of your text line questions on the People's Text Line. 590-590 is where you can text us. We'll get to as many texts as we can in about 5 minutes at the top of the hour. And don't forget, if we don't get to your text line questions on the air, we will answer as many of them as we can. Certainly before 9:30 a.m. Eastern, when the Vikings-Saints London game gets going. But if we don't get to any of those, we'll get to as many of the other questions as well before the 1 p.m. kickoffs go for the rest of week four across the NFL. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show. The People's Text Line is next. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Week four in the NFL is here. And in less than 30 minutes, we have some NFL game action. In-game action for The Fantasy Show this week, which is always really fun. But still, your injury news, your news and notes, your start sits, and of course, now the People's Text Line. Text us at 590-590. We go to as many text line questions as we possibly can on the air. Matt, you ready to do some texts?
Let's roll.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, let's get started. Let's see here. Actually, no, you know what? This one is not for... I was going to read this one out loud, but then I realized it's for Jay's talk. But still, do you think Bradley Zimmer will make the postseason roster? No. I'm just going to say no, Matt.
I actually have a feeling he's going to. They didn't keep him around this long to have him not be on the roster. It's weird.
Give me Jackie Bradley Jr. over Bradley Zimmer. But okay, let's do the fantasy football text line questions. I'm just scanning quickly to see if I can find as many questions as possible about the London game. And I'm not, we're going to answer all of them, don't worry, before certainly 1 p.m. Eastern. But because this London game starts in about 30 minutes, I want to answer those first. Let's see, Simon in Richmond Hill, he texts in, with Winston not playing today, is it worth starting Taysom Hill at tight end, or should I just start my other tight end, Irv Smith Jr. from Minnesota?
Yeah. The only reason why I would start Taysom Hill in that case is, well, there's no Alvin Kamara, right? And what do we say? Whenever the opportunity opens up, it never works out for Taysom Hill. But I don't love Irv Smith either in this case.
I know, right? That's how I feel, too. It's like, oh, boy, do you really want to recommend Hill?
New Orleans is 30th against opposing tight ends. The Minnesota Vikings are... 12th. You know what? On the upside factor, because I think Justin Jefferson is going to be heavily involved in the passing game this week, I'll roll Taysom Hill in the QB, in the tight end spot, with the chance that maybe Andy Dalton doesn't play well, or if, God forbid, he gets hurt, you just take the upside there. Not that we're praying for injury, but
no.
Take the upside.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's no Sean Payton there anymore, but still, they do like to use Taysom Hill in increasingly creative ways. So I think you can probably throw him in there. I see Jason from Acton, half PPR league. Would you play Mark Ingram in London or wait to play Romeo Dubs in the flex position?
I really like Romeo Dubs this week. I it's a good matchup for the Packers. The Patriots are a little bit broken right now, and he was our top waiver wire pickup this week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna roll with the Dubs.
All right, let's see here. I'm just scanning to see if for any London questions. I don't see any right now. So we'll keep going. We'll keep going from the beginning. Also, I see a text here from someone in Calgary. Someone says, there's no name on this one, but it just says, we do have Olive Garden here in Calgary. I just moved here from Ontario. So there you go. So Olive Gardens do exist in Canada. I don't think they exist very many places, at the very least in the GTA here in Toronto / the surrounding area. But hey, at least there's one at least in Calgary, in the middle of the country.
Not to besmirch the people of Calgary, but that kind of tells me a lot about their palate, doesn't it, Joe?
I'm lactose intolerant, Matt, so I just generally speaking do not eat a lot of Italian food. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty safe bet.
FaZe from Peterborough, 3-0 so far, guys. Thanks to your help. Thank you very much. This week, I have a couple of questions. So he has two. Tight end, Dalton Schultz or David Njoku? It's a bad problem. It's not a bad problem to have, I would think.
I roll Njoku this week. I really think he's in for a good one.
Right, so you roll Njoku. I think I go Njoku as well. And then he says, for my second running back, this is a full PPR league, by the way. For my second running back, his first is Eckler. Second running back, Herbert or James Conner? Is it crazy to say Herbert? I know we haven't gotten to the Bears yet, but I think I might roll Herbert this week.
Oh, it's bad weather there, and they're going to run the ball 7,000 times in the game. Like, Khalil Herbert may set the single game record for rushing attempts in a game just because the Bears are stupid. I'd roll with Herbert. I think the upside is there. And he's proven that he can play at this level. And with no David Montgomery, I think it's a really smart start.
I see here. I'm going Herbert as well. I see here Eddie from Angus. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Eddie. I'm sliding Jamal Williams into my RB2 this week. So I need a flex in half PPR. Javonte Williams, AJ Dillon, or Damian Pierce. That's a pretty good team if those are your flex plays. Okay, maybe Matt hated that question. He hated it so much. And I think we just lost him. We'll get to that. We'll get Matt back in a second. Javonte Williams, AJ Dillon, or Damian Pierce. You know what? AJ Dillon is a decent play here, but Damian Pierce. Javonte Williams. So I don't know what is going on in Denver, but somehow in Denver. The split between Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams is such that I think I would rather go Damian Pierce with his overall share of that backfield. I don't know if you heard the full question, Matt. We got Mac.
Oh, I did. I was okay. Talking into the abyss because I had my thing on mute, and okay. I'm usually pretty good about that. only been doing this
for a couple of years now. Yeah,
you know, yeah, been doing this from home for a while. I still like Javonte Williams' upside because of his role. Like, he's got that Aaron Jones role, right? That's exactly the noise that I made, by the way. I think I am going to roll with Javonte Williams here, and I'll probably regret it. But I think the upside is there. I really like Javonte Williams.
All right, sounds good. I will put that down for Eddie and Angus. I'm gonna go Pierce. I think I'm gonna go Pierce here just because, like you said earlier when we were talking about the Texans right before the break, the Texans have shockingly kept things pretty close for basically all of their games. And as long as that happens, you're gonna see a lot of the run game. And even they just seem to use Damian Pierce a lot. So I'm gonna go with Damian Pierce. You're going Javonte Williams. Let's see. This one, actually, there's no name on this one, but this looks like it's from a Calgary area code. Good morning, guys. Love the show. Week 4 is here. Standard scoring. Amon-Ra St. Brown is out for me. Zay Jones, Josh Reynolds, Rondale Moore, if he goes, are my other options. So Jones, Reynolds, or Moore.
It feels like the healthiest of the... I think it's Josh Reynolds just because he's the number one wide receiver option in Detroit this week. Rondale Moore, there's that chance of re-aggravating that hamstring injury, so I'm willing to wait on him for a week. And I like Rondale Moore more in PPR formats than I do in standard. And Zay Jones, I do like Zay Jones, but that's a tough matchup this week against the Eagles. I'm going to roll with Josh Reynolds.
I think, too, I'm going to go Josh Reynolds as well because I think, too, I do like Zay Jones, generally speaking, and he was another hot waiver wire pickup these past couple of weeks. But I was reading that the Jags-Eagles game, there is supposed to be some nasty weather there. So maybe we see some more lean. I mean, certainly Christian Kirk is going to get his because he runs out of the slot. And I believe there's no Avante Maddox this week. I don't think he's playing. And he also largely covers the slot receiver. So Christian Kirk going to get his more than likely. But the other pass-catching options, I would just downgrade them because of weather. As we know, weather can really mess with that stuff. Here's another London one for the Vikings-Saints game. Mike from Toronto. Good morning, Show and Matt. Need two of three. Okay, you know what? Let's start with his defense question first because it's about this early game. Should I start the Bucs defense or the Vikings defense at 9:30 a.m. Eastern?
Ooh, I think I lean Vikings just because Andy Dalton's starting for the Saints and for all of the injuries that they have. The Bucs defense has been really good, but I got this sneaky suspicion that this is the... Yeah, I think this is the blow-up week for the Chiefs. I know they put a ton up against the Cardinals in week one, but everybody's talking about how they're broken again. I feel like this is a week for the Chiefs to kind of blow up and give Tom Brady and that Bucs defense fits.
The other half of Mike's question was two of three from Godwin, Henny, and AJ Brown. So basically you're benching one of these guys. So I would think against the Jags defense, which actually hasn't been terrible this year, but I think you're starting AJ Brown just generally speaking most weeks, because he has proven to have a clear rapport with Jalen Hurts, who has been on fire so far this year. But if you're starting AJ Brown, I think you're essentially trying to figure out, are you starting Penny or Godwin essentially for Mike here? It's a non PPR.
Yeah, you're starting AJ Brown. Oh, this is a tough one. I kind of like Rashad Penny just because of the matchup. And again, Chris Godwin's coming off of the hamstring injury. I'm always very leery about re-aggravation or at least snap counts just to limit the chance of re-aggravation. Penny's got a great matchup, and the fact that it's non-PPR, I think the higher upside there is Rashad Penny.
Let's see. I'm just looking here for some more. Here we go, boys. From Matt in Toronto. Need help deciding on my wide receiver. I have too many. Which two to start out of Jefferson? Yeah, which two to start out of Jefferson, Sutton, Allen. I said there are a lot of receivers here, but Jefferson, Sutton, Allen, Robinson, Olave, Ayuk, and Curtis Samuel. Are you muted again, Matt? Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Matt just doesn't like these questions this morning. He doesn't like having them. All right, let's do. I'll tackle this one, Matt. So there are a number of questions here. I think you have to start Justin Jefferson, even if he does see Marcus Lattimore. I'm passing on Allen Robinson for now. I think I'll probably put in Cortland Sutton as well. I mean, it's hard to bench Curtis Samuel. I don't know if this is a PPR league or not, Matt, or a full or a half PPR league. But if it is. If it is in any way, shape, or form, full or half PPR, I think I might consider putting Curtis Samuel in there. But if your top two wide receivers are Justin Jefferson and Cortland Sutton, I think you got to start them, I would think. Right, Matt?
Yeah, you do. And I'm going to just keep my mic on the whole time because apparently I can't hit the button. Something's going on here with my trigger finger this morning. Yeah, it's Jefferson and it's Sutton for me. Everybody, those are the two guys. Listen, Russell Wilson's been leaning on Cortland Sutton a lot. And Justin Jefferson is absolutely bouncing back. I don't care who he's going up against this week.
All right, so we're both going Justin Jefferson and Cortland Sutton. And let's see, let's do one more before we take a break and get back to the start sits. Let's see here. Good morning, gentlemen. Steve from East York. I have the combo of Carr and Rodgers in both my leagues. One is a half PPR league. One is a non-PPR league. Who should I start? I mean, it does not really matter a lot for QBs specifically, but combo of Carr and Aaron Rodgers. Who are you starting at QB this week?
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers this week. He was pretty good last week against the Bucs defense that is very stout. And I even though the Pats defense has been pretty good, I'll take Aaron Rodgers in this game. They might end up running the ball a lot more than we thought just because I think that Patriots offense is going to be pretty futile. But at the end of the day, they're going to put up points and Aaron Rodgers is going to be a big part of that. I just don't trust Derek Carr against that Denver defense who's been solid across the board.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I would probably go with, if you're in a 2 QB league, for example, I think you're pretty much starting Derek Carr most weeks just because he was drafted. Not he wasn't drafted super highly, but highly enough that you're probably starting him and you don't have any a lot of better options. But in one QB leagues, if your other option is Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I think you can feel okay about going with Aaron Rodgers. And it looks like he's getting more comfortable with all of those new-ish pass-catching options in Green Bay, especially against the New England Patriots. You got to imagine the Packers are going to have the ball a lot of this game with no Mac Jones. I believe Brian Hoyer is starting for the Patriots. But that does it for the text line
Brian
question.
Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer the Destroyer, everyone's favorite backup quarterback. But
destroys all your fantasy teams.
That does it for the text line questions here on the Fantasy Show. We will continue the text line questions off the air at 590-590. So you can still send us as many text line questions as you want before 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll get to as many as we can before kickoff goes for the normal set of games, quote-unquote, at 1 p.m. Eastern. So, and again, the London game starts in about 15 minutes from right now. So get your lineup set. Again, no Michael Thomas, no Alvin Kamara, and no Jameis Winston. Okay, let's continue with our start sit mats. Let's go to the Titans and Colts, and let's start with the Titans. Derrick Henry certainly looked very, very good. He still has yet to eclipse 100 yards rushing in a single game, but he was actually involved to a certain degree in the passing game. He had 5 catches for 58 yards. I mean, you can throw out the stats all you want. You're still probably starting Derrick Henry in most weeks. I think he is still a lower-end RB1, despite what we saw last week, for me at least, but you're still starting him, obviously. For the rest of the Titans offense, however, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, any of the other guys, Kyle Phillips, Austin Hooper, I don't know. Like they're all sits for me this week against the Colts defense. I think I'm going to avoid as many Titans as possible other than Derrick Henry.
Shaquille Leonard also back for the Colts, which is a big, big boon for that defense. I still like Robert Woods in this one. I think Robert Woods has played better. Listen, he came into week one and he was coming off that ACL injury. So there was going to be some growing pains there. But the last 2 weeks, he has 14 targets. The game against Buffalo, which was a tough game for the Titans, he still had 4 catches for 39 yards. Last week against the Raiders, 4 catches for 85 yards. He had 9 targets. So 14 targets the last 2 weeks. The target share is starting to go up. I like Robert Woods in a flex play because I think the Titans are going to have to throw the ball here. The Derrick Henry passing game usage is really interesting, but I do wonder if we see a little bit more when Dontrell Hilliard is healthy. I haven't seen if actually he's playing today because that was clearly the guy that they liked in passing downs for the Titans. And that's where I think that will go going forward. I wouldn't get too optimistic. Hilliard did play last week. So I did miss that because I was, busy. Not the big fan of the Titans and Raiders game, but he did have the 1 catch for 30 yards. I still think that Hilliard is the guy that's going to get the usage in the passing game there, but Derrick Henry, yes, a low end RB1 with lots of touchdown upside for the Titans.
If we look at the Colts as well, I think beyond Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, the guys you're starting in every league, and I still think Michael Pittman, not because of his own talent or even injury at this point, I think just because Matt Ryan, I don't know if I want to say he's washed necessarily, but he just is not as asked.
He's been bad.
Yeah, he's not been great. He's not asked to do a whole lot. And because of that, it does hurt the pass catching options on this offense. Michael Pittman, I think weekly, I'll probably just say he is a WR2 that can be a WR1 if he just gets the ball thrown in his general direction because he's very, very good. If they ever choose to make him a focal point of the offense, I think you can feel good about it. But still, I mean, he's still going to be reliable in most weeks. He still ended up with double digit points, after the end of the week, after a relatively slow start to that game. But still, I think it's a little middling right now for the Colts passing offense, generally speaking. I'm not going to read too much into the Jelani Woods 2 touchdowns thing, just because, again, that it certainly seems like it's going to be a revolving door of who's catching the ball for touchdowns in the end zone on a regular weekly basis. If it changes this week, if Woods catches another touchdown or is heavily involved, then maybe we can have a different discussion next week. But for now, I think I'm passing on Jelani Woods.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold off expectations on Jelani Woods. Look, Michael Pittman Jr. has 17 catches on 22 targets in 2 weeks. Matt Ryan is just going to throw the ball to Michael Pittman, and that's all he's going to do. Last week against the Chiefs, he had 8 catches for 72 yards on 9 targets. That's just going to continue. That's just who Matt Ryan is. And not for anything, Show, but in this offense, nobody else has proven to be, you know, a trustworthy player. Like, Alec Pierce had a good game last week. I think he had over 60 yards. But we're not there with Alec Pierce yet where we say, you know what, we can lock him into a flex play. Until we see more, it is Michael Pittman, it is Jonathan Taylor, and then bust for the rest of the Colts offense until they turn it around, which there's a chance that they do. The Titans haven't been incredible defensively, so there's opportunity here. It's just that the Colts have struggled over the last little bit against the Tennessee Titans.
Our next game on the docket here, Bears at Giants. And
this is a quick one.
Let me just ask you real quick. do you have another rant about Justin Fields in the hopper here or no?
No, well, they're still idiots. Like, they still haven't changed my opinion. They're still idiots. They need to let this guy make his mistakes. You're not going to win squat. Although, this is the worst part of this week's show. One of these teams, unless there is a tie, is going 3-1. And they may be, whoever wins this, the worst 3-1 team in the history of the NFL. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I don't even think that's a hot take.
No, I don't think it is. If you had told me that both of these teams would be, or one of these teams, pardon me, would be 3-1 after 4 weeks of the 2022 season, I would have been, you know, the Anchorman gif. I don't believe you. It would have been exactly like that. But yeah, I think you're starting Khalil Herbert. And probably that's it. That's probably it from the Bears offense. I don't think you're starting Darnell Mooney or Equanimeous St. Brown. Certainly David Montgomery is out. Justin Fields. I'm honestly not sure if he's good. Honestly, it could be a coaching thing. They're not letting him throw the ball a lot. I'm just genuinely not sure if he is a good quarterback or not. But for fantasy purposes, do not roll him out if you can. Giants, like you said, a quick one. You're pretty much starting no pass catching option. A lot of them are out as well. And unfortunately, Sterling Shepard is done for the season after a torn ACL. That really sucks. I've always been a fan of Sterling Shepard in real life, even if I don't roster him in all of my fantasy leagues, but he is done for the season. So you're pretty much only starting Saquon Barkley.
That's it. It's really end of list. And I will be more interested when Wandale Robinson gets back into the lineup because of how they've used Richie James Jr. out of the slot. But yeah, no, I think we're good here. Saquon Barkley, and that's it.
Yeah,
two running backs in this game, yeah. And there could be bad weather, so it's a lot of running backs in this game, I think.
Yeah, I think take the under on passing attempts for both Fields and for Daniel Jones. I think also just a quick note, Barkley, if you're curious, he is the RB1 on the year so far. He has notched 22.6 fantasy points per game, and the Bears give up the eighth most fantasy points to running backs, an average of 20, a little over 20 fantasy points per game. So yeah, you can imagine. I can only imagine Saquon Barkley's going to carry the ball like 40 times today, probably. So you're obviously firing him up. Jags at Eagles. I mentioned this one when we were talking about some of the text line questions a little earlier on. I think, look, there's a lot of fantasy relevant players on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Having said that, the guys you are starting every week are going to be James Robinson, Christian Kirk, and maybe even Trevor Lawrence in a weekly sense. I mean, if you're in a one QB league, you might have better options. If you're in a 2QB league, you're starting him no matter what because he has been very, very good. The Eagles' defense, however, is pretty good. They do have a couple of holes just in terms of injuries this week. But still, I think even with the Eagles' defense, it certainly, even if it is garbage time, it certainly feels as though James Robinson and Christian Kirk are going to still get theirs.
I think we're going to see a lot of James Robinson. Another, you mentioned it earlier, another game where bad weather could be a factor. I think this is the Travis Etienne breakout week. I think he's a flex play this week because I think this offense is going to have to really use him in short passing situation, dump offs to the running backs because the Eagles pass rush is so good. The Eagles have given up the fifth fewest points to quarterbacks. They're tough against all positions. So I think with the combination of the pass rush and the weather, I think we're going to see a bunch of James Robinson, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of Travis Etienne. I actually do like a mini breakout here from Etienne.
You know what? I think you've talked me into starting Travis Etienne in a league where I am down like a zillion guys. So I think I might do it, Matt. I think I might. I'm not sure if it's going to work out, but I think I have no choice. So
the upside's there. The upside is there. We know how good he is, but I totally get why people would be very hesitant because we didn't see this from James Robinson, right? Nobody saw this. This has been an incredible run, and I'm happy for him because there was the chance that James Robinson, because he didn't have draft capital, he was undrafted, that the Jags just said, ah, we're done with you. And then that could have been the end of James Robinson's career. And all he's done is just be an absolute stud through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, he has been so good. And you probably got James Robinson, if not for free, probably in the last, like, I don't know, like what, two or three rounds of your draft. Like, he was probably being drafted as an afterthought just after like defenses and kickers, I would think, for the most part. So very great return on draft capital, certainly this year for James Robinson. Let's do Eagles as well. You're starting pretty much everyone: Hurts, Brown, Devontae Smith. I think that, again, the questions revolve around the running backs, but it certainly seems right now it's Miles Sanders. And then you're skipping out on Gainwell or Scott.
Yeah, I think Boston Scott might be out. I think you had said that earlier in the show. But yeah, Gainwell is – I like Gainwell's skill set. Yeah, but in this case, I don't like how they use him. Miles Sanders clearly the guy. I'm actually surprised at how good Miles Sanders has been this season. Currently RB19. He was better after the first 2 weeks. We'll see how this one goes today. Could be a situation where – the Eagles are running the ball a lot. I really like Jalen Hurts' rushing upside if the weather's bad. But yeah, you're starting your Goddards. You're starting your A.J. Brown. You're starting Devontae Smith. I think that's pretty safe across the board.
Yeah, Sanders is still leading all Eagles running backs with a 59% snap share, which is very impressive. But still, he doesn't get the ball a lot when the team leads. And when the Eagles have been leading with less than 4 minutes to go, Sanders has just six touches in those three game situations this season so far. So kind of weird, like a little strange, but at the same time, you want a piece of potent offenses, and Miles Sanders is one of those guys this year. Let's roll on. Let's do a couple more games before we hit a quick break here. Jets at Steelers, and Zach Wilson making his return. He had the bone bruise and meniscus tear in the right knee in the very first game of the preseason. He is going to suit up for the first time this week today against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Probably not the easiest matchup for Zach Wilson in his very first game of the year. But similarly, the question for Zach Wilson isn't, is he going to be like good or terrible? It's really just, is a quarterback change going to affect the usage of basically every offensive player on this Jets offense, right? Like Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Tyler Conklin. These are all guys that we've all started at times. Like, I'm starting Garrett Wilson because I have no choice because of guys like Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen and others who are out. I'm under St. Brown in various leagues. Garrett Wilson is a start for me, but still, I think you have to consider Garrett Wilson a flex until we see what this offense 100% looks like with Zach Wilson. And again, even what, against the Steelers, it's not the most ideal matchup, I would say.
Can I say that I'm actually kind of bullish on this offense with Zach Wilson?
Wow. All right.
Yeah. I think they learned from their mistakes with Zach Wilson last year. Okay. At the end of the day, can Zach Wilson really be any worse than Joe Flacco? I would find that really hard.
I think yes. I think the answer is yes. It's possible.
It's possible, but I think it's hard to believe. I could be very wrong on this show, but I like the Jets. For me, are actually a little bit of found money in terms of fantasy points. Both Jets running backs are in the conversation. They're getting double digit touches every week, so they're in a flex conversation, and they've been both pretty good when they've had the ball in their hands. I think it's wheels up for Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson. I really do believe that Zach Wilson has a good rapport with Elijah Moore, and Garrett Wilson has been absolutely incredible through the first 3 weeks of the season. Dare I say that I am starting Zach Wilson in this spot over guys like Carson Wentz, over, of course, you're starting them over anybody from the Giants and Bears game. But I mean, Zach Wilson is probably in the mid-range quarterback too with upside for back-end QB1 this week, because the Steelers, as good as we sometimes believe their defense is, they've given up their middle of the pack in terms of points to the quarterback position, but they've given up the seventh most points per game to running backs, the ninth most points per game to wide receivers. I think this is a sneaky good matchup here for the Jets players.
The only concern I have is that Joe Flacco threw the ball last week over 50 times. He threw the ball 52 times in week 3. Is Zach Wilson, and that's another instance of Flacco throwing the ball more than 50 times. I think he's done it at least one other time this season. I do not believe Zach Wilson is going to throw the ball over 50 times. And if that's the case, then the benefactors of getting the passes through the air for Breece Hall, he had 6 receptions for 53 yards, just 8 carries for 39 yards on the ground. Michael Carter, 11 carries and 1 catch. I do wonder if Breece Hall will see some of that passing work evaporate a little bit, only because I would think that Zach Wilson's not going to throw the ball 50 times. But then again, you never know, right? You never know. So we'll have to see how that one goes. On the Steelers side of things, yeah, you're starting Najee Harris. You're starting Deontay Johnson because of the sheer volume. And I dare say you're going to start Pat Freiermuth as well. Dating back to 2021, New York has allowed 9.42 fantasy points per game to tight ends, which doesn't sound particularly sexy, but that's also 6th worst so far in that time frame because, again, the tight end position is such a black hole sometimes. So I think you're pretty much starting all 3 of those guys, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, even Mitch Trubisky himself. I think you're probably avoiding them if you can. Let's do one more game quickly, Matt, before we hit the break. Cards at Panthers, and we'll start with the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, a QB1, is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is in beta. So should we be concerned? Is that a concern for us or what?
Yes. Yes, yes, we should be concerned. You know what? I was looking at the stats and I was stunned. And maybe this is just kind of a deeper conversation about the quarterback position through the first 3 weeks, but Kyler Murray's QB8 and he only has 3 touchdown passes. And it's not as if his rushing numbers have been, you know, Lamar Jackson-esque that you look at and go, okay, that's why. He only has 12 carries for 65 yards through the first 3 weeks and 1 rushing touchdown. So he's averaging almost 20 points per game, and yet I don't feel like he's been all that great. Certainly the touchdown numbers haven't been there, and he's not even in the top 10 in passing yards this year. It is one of the more bizarre things that I've ever seen. He has only thrown the 1 touchdown, but only 3 only 1 interception, but 3 touchdown passes, and he's QB8. Seems like such a volatile position this year.
It is really, it truly is. It's kind of weird. I do think, again, only through 3 weeks prior to the games of this week, if you had looked back at the same list from last season, it probably looks very different than what it looked like at the end of the season. So I think maybe in like 3 or 4 more weeks, we can make some more season-long judgments on guys like Kyler Murray. Apart from that, James Conner, probably an RB2. The Carolina run defense, 15th against fantasy running backs. So better on paper than they are in practice. So you can fire him up as an RB2. I can't imagine Darrell Williams or Eno Benjamin are going to be, you know, you're not putting them in your lineup regardless. So or really rostering them, I would imagine. Marquise Brown, 14 of 17 targets for 140 yards. And with the return of Rondale Moore, I would imagine it does make the presence of Greg Dortch a little, unfortunately, you're not going to start him too much just because of Moore's return. So the only really consistent guy you can get in your lineup this week from a pass catching option, Zach Ertz certainly as well, but Marquise Brown is the guy from a wide receiver perspective.
Well, I said last week there was going to be a breakout here for Hollywood Brown just because of, like you said, just sheer opportunity. Marquise Brown is a good receiver. He has the rapport with Kyler Murray from their time in college. He has 34 targets through the first 3 weeks, and he has 24 catches for 251 yards and the 1 touchdown. He's being used. He's being targeted. Is that going to change when DeAndre Hopkins comes back after week 6? Yeah, it probably will. But until that point, I think you can fire up Hollywood Brown as a low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2, just because the opportunity is going to be there. And I think we're going to see a lot of opportunity against the Panthers this week as well.
For the Panthers themselves, Christian McCaffrey looks like he is going to play. I do wonder if it might be a little more of a timeshare just because he had the thigh injury, the quad injury. He is apparently going to play, though, so you can still get him in your lineups, because if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, or if he's in the lineup, I should say, then you want him starting. So you're starting McCaffrey. DJ Moore has been a complete disappointment. He has seen 6 targets in each of the first 3 games. Not the kind of volume you wanted, but I mean, maybe if Baker takes a step forward, maybe it turns out well for him. But I think Baker just might not be very good. I think that's what it is.
I think there's a very good chance of that being the case. But I outlined it last week. There's something about DJ Moore in the first 4 weeks of the season that's not good. And then after 4 weeks, he turns into like this target monster and this yak monster, yards after catch monster. And that's what I'm kind of banking on here. He's a little bit of a flex play with upside until he gets out of this funk. But I think I'm waiting to see what happens in week five, because that's when the DJ Moore show starts to happen.
We'll see if there's any sort of positive developments for DJ Moore this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Because, yeah, he, for what you invested in him draft capital-wise, it has not been a very good return so far. He has borderline been droppable so far. If you're just looking at strictly at his fantasy output, you're not going to do that, certainly. But still, just strictly at the points production from Moore, he has not been good. So hopefully he turns it around somewhat this week. I got him ranked as a WR3 just because, I mean, you have no other choice but to start him, in, especially with guys like Thomas and Allen and St. Brown all out. So you might not have a choice but to start him, but he's ranked relatively low on my rankings this week. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Patriots, Packers, and the last couple of start sits. And we have some time. We'll get into some more text line questions as well. And the people's text line, 590-590. And again, if we didn't answer your question on the air, we will get to as many as we can off the air before the 1 p.m. kickoffs. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Segment to go on the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you as we're taking a look at all the start sits for week four across the NFL, injury news and notes, and of course, as always, your text line questions at 590-590 on the People's text line. Again, we did a whole bunch of them at the top of this past hour. But if we didn't get to your text line questions, we will get to all of them before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoffs go later this afternoon. But Matt, let's continue our last couple of start sits. Patriots at Packers. I dare say this is also going to be a relatively quick one because no Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones was really, you know, maybe he provides slightly higher upside for some of these guys, but no Jacoby Myers either. So it pretty much just means you're starting both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, I would say, as higher end flex plays. Probably that's it. Unfortunately, I don't know if you can feel so good about starting, let's say, Devontae Parker. He had a very good game, but I mean, that was also with Mac Jones throwing him the ball.
Yeah, I have this actually written down. Hard to trust anyone outside of Stevenson or Harris at this point. Yeah. That is verbatim. Stevenson's usage was interesting last week. He's gone up every week, and last week he had a 50% snap share to Harris's 38%, and he handled 16 touches to Harris's 13. Harris has averaged 13.2 touches per week, and Stevenson 12. So they're both guys that are getting double digit touches. And Stevenson was used a little bit more in the passing game last week. I expect that's going to continue. Yeah, I agree with you. You're firing up both of those guys. I think they're like back end RB2 plays and certainly flex plays. But yeah, it should be. And the Packers defense, I mean, they've been not as good as I thought they were going to be. And I mean, there's still time, but they're good against opposing running backs. 25th in points per game allowed at 15.2.
Yeah, the 10th fewest fantasy points allowed per game to running backs. So, I mean, maybe that changes today because the Patriots are going to have to run the ball a lot with Brian Hoyer. They're going to still let him throw the ball because he's a pretty trusted backup. But still, I mean, the upside with backups, just generally speaking, is just not that high. Packers-wise, we did the Rodgers question. I think he's still a QB1. Generally speaking, until he is not, he is going to be a QB1, essentially, right? No matter who is back there catching passes, Aaron Jones, an RB1, A.J. Dillon, it's a split backfield, but A.J. Dillon probably still a lower-end RB2. Look, they're probably better options, but if you're in an injury crunch, you can do worse than A.J. Dillon. And Alan Lazard and Romeo Dubs are going to be the pass-catching options again. And again, we mentioned this before, but Dubs being one of the more popular waiver wire pickups of the week. I got him as a flex play, like a higher-end flex play. We got to see what the other guys look like here, but after Lazard, he looks like he is coming into his own. It's just one game, so you don't want to overreact too much, but if he keeps it going this week, you might have some larger conversations going forward.
Yeah, I think you will. And again, we go back to how all the hype around him in camp, and there was a lot of it. But you know what? This is the most interesting thing, and I think we know what the answer is. But New England's allowed the 7 most points per game to quarterbacks, but they've been great against running backs and wide receivers. They've allowed the 28th and 29th most fantasy points to wide receivers and running backs. So that means that the quarterbacks have just been running on them. That's pretty much it. Lamar Jackson being at the top of that list. But I think Dubs is in a good spot. Lazard looks to be the red zone guy. But outside of that, I'm curious to see what happens with Romeo and Dubs here. I think you're right. It's a flex play with some upside. But if he catches Aaron Rodgers' eye, he could be one of those waiver wire gems that you picked up or somebody you drafted late who ends up being like a wide receiver too just because of the quarterback he's playing with.
I have a feeling this game is just going to, generally speaking, be a lower scoring game. I know Rodgers is the man, but still, the Patriots secondary, pardon me, don't allow a lot of points to wide receivers. They're a pretty tough out when it comes to the passing options. So I think this might not be a super high scoring game. Broncos at Raiders. Russell Wilson has not been looking great so far. A bit of a rocky start for him in Denver, but still, I think you can still roll him out there in two QB leagues, maybe as a QB2. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon continue to split touches to a certain degree, but still, Williams is, I would still say, an RB2 as well. If Melvin Gordon ever got injured, he would certainly rocket it up the rankings, but still, for now, RB2 for me. And you're starting Cortland Sutton basically every week. He's been the most reliable receiver in this offense, partly because Judy was injured for a little bit of it, but Judy is back, and WR3 flex territory for me for Jerry Judy.
Yeah, they need to get him more involved, and I have him exactly like that, a low-end wide receiver 3, as we have our first touchdown in the London game, and of course, it goes to Alexander Mattison, just like everybody had that on their bingo card. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon thing is interesting because it is clear through 3 weeks that Melvin Gordon is probably the guy when healthy in the red zone. He's handled 75% of the carries inside the 5 and 66 inside the 10. Granted, it's a small sample size, but I think it's pretty obvious that they like Gordon, who's kind of the bigger of the two backs and has had success in the red zone over the course of his career, at least for the time being, is the guy that they like in that spot. But yeah, they need Russell Wilson to get going here. And I think this is a pretty good bounce back spot. The Raiders, not very good across the board. Fourth most points to opposing quarterbacks, third most points to opposing running backs. They've been good against opposing wide receivers, 24th, but bad against tight ends, 6th most at 13.8 per game.
If we look on the Raiders side of things, obviously you're starting Davante Adams. You might not have a better option but to start Derek Carr. I see a bunch of Derek Carr questions on the text line as well, so we'll get to all of those. If we have some time before we go, we'll get to some, but if not, we'll get to all of those before 1 p.m. Eastern. But you're starting Adams. Hunter Renfrow is out again, and in his absence last week, Mac Hollins, he just really showed out. He had 10 targets, 8 receptions, 158 yards, and 1 touchdown. So I mean, that's just absolutely tremendous. But still, the question for me is, against the Broncos defense, which, like you mentioned before, Matt, has been pretty good, will that breakout lead to a bigger piece of the passing game? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I feel like you're just guessing if you say otherwise, because he has been good, but you can never really be sure with these things.
Well, no, and this feels like one of those, that the Mac Hollins start this week feels like a bit of a trap. Broncos 30th most points against QBs, 30th most against running backs, 32nd against wide receivers. The guy that feels like he's gonna have a really good game is Darren Waller, because they've given up the 8th most fantasy points to tight ends. Outside of that, like, the Denver defense has been really good, and we'd be having a much different conversation about the Broncos if their offense could do anything with Russell Wilson at the helm. This does kind of feel like a Broncos run away with it game, only because of the struggles that the Raiders have had on defense and with how good the Broncos defense has been. So I'm Darren Waller is, like, you start Adams. After that, Darren Waller is the only guy that I'm comfortable starting here.
Let's go to the last couple of primetime games. We've got a couple minutes left here, so let's scoot through these. Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And Tom Brady, we mentioned this earlier, he has struggled so far this year, but hopefully he gets some consistency because he does get a couple of wide receiver weapons back. I mean, I think you got to start him. You got to start Leonard Fournette. Mike Evans is back after serving the one-game suspension. It will help Tom Brady, certainly. They're going to see tonight if Julio and Godwin can go. It certainly looks optimistic for them. So you don't have to rely on, like, let's say, Russell Gage or Scotty Miller. You can rely on the more common options for Brady, including Godwin and Evans. So if they play, certainly, if they play, that kind of thing is just a rising tide that lifts all ships in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it does. And Tom Brady should have the bounce back this week. So I agree with everything that you said there. The one curious thing that I'm looking to see what happens is Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator for the Bucs, said they want to get Rashad White more involved. I'll believe it when I see it, but that's another guy to keep an eye on because I'm sure he's all over the waiver wire. And like we said, a really high-valued handcuff if something were to happen to Leonard Fournette. But outside of that, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, I'm less inclined to start a guy like Julio Jones because it sounds like he's more of a game time decision than even Chris Godwin is. So I'd be firing up Mike Evans as a low end wide receiver one, Chris Godwin as a high end wide receiver three with wide receiver two upside, and Leonard Fournette, of course.
Are you starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire today? Flex play maybe?
I think you have to. I think even better than a flex play, to be honest with you, just because he's finally in that role that we anticipated he was going to be in when he got drafted. Yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have allowed the fewest points to opposing running backs, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, RB4 in half point PPR scoring. He's caught 12 passes in 3 weeks. That's what we thought he was going to get. It's a tough matchup all across the board for the Chiefs, but I mean, I still like Juju Smith-Schuster in this spot, and I do like Travis Kelce, of course, because Travis Kelce is, for my books, the best tight end that we've ever seen. So yeah, I think that's where you go. It's pretty much the usual suspects in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's a low volume rushing offense. Let's put it that way. We knew that.
Yep.
It's an offense that has Patrick Mahomes. It's not a huge shocker. So yeah, like put it this way, Edwards-Helaire has not seen over 10 carries in any game this season, and then now sees a very tough rushing defense. I don't expect that to change. But so if you do start CEH, you're starting him because of the involvement in the passing game. Let's finish up here with the last game of the week, the Monday Nighter, Rams at Niners. The Niners have not looked super great so far. Not a lot of offense, just generally speaking. An 11-10 score, the second 11-10 score in NFL history on Sunday night. So hopefully a better stuff ahead, hopefully on Monday night. But still, Jeff Wilson Jr., RB2, Debo Samuel, I still think like a lower-end WR1, but after that, and George Kittle certainly as well, I think he does have the rapport with Jimmy G, but Brandon Ayuk is the most interesting one to me. I'll be curious to see what kind of volume goes to passing options like Ayuk. I have him as a WR3. I don't know if you have him any differently.
Got him as a high-end wide receiver three.
All right, well, that's a pretty short answer for Matt. Maybe he got
it. There's clearly something going on with my app here. But anyway, Brandon Ayuk, I have him as a high-end wide receiver three. The Rams secondary hasn't been very good this season, and I think that kind of continues here. Debo Samuel, for those that like to play the prop game and like to have some faith in your starters, in his last four games against the Rams, he's averaging over 100 total yards and one full touchdown per game. I like him to score today. He is an absolute lock this week to have a good week.
I like it. And on the Rams side of things, I mean, look, you're starting Cooper Kupp. You're starting probably Matthew Stafford, even if he is a lower-end QB1, I would say. Like, his early numbers were skewed because he got absolutely caved in by the Buffalo Bills. But even since then, he has been a little bit better. No passing touchdown last week for Stafford, which probably didn't help his numbers. But still, he is still a relatively consistent option, just, again, on the lower end of that scale. But Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson is going to be the interesting matchup here. Against the 49ers defense, if you could possibly sit both of them, I would. You may not have a choice but to play them. If that's the case, I guess Akers certainly seems like he's being worked into the game plan a little more, as you knew they would eventually, but still a flex play for me for Akers. And Tyler Higbee, again, continues that thing where he's on the field for like virtually every snap, Matt, and then in the end of the game just doesn't convert that into a lot of fantasy points.
No, it's just been like he's had some games where you go, oh, wow, that's pretty good, but I don't think this week is going to be that week. He's in tough against the Niners, who are great against opposing teams' tight ends. I agree with the Akers part. He's probably a flex play. The Niners defense has been really good. I'm not starting Daryl Henderson anywhere. You're basically praying for an injury at that point, and that's not how we play fantasy football, because the fantasy football gods do not like that, and they will get you back later. Allen Robinson, to me, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. They pay the guy, follow the money. He's now become a touchdown-dependent flex play. I just don't understand what they're doing here. And they gave him all that money. You'd think they'd incorporate him into the offense a little bit more. I know they have Cooper Kupp. I get it. But with the way the running game has been, which has been not very good, you'd think that they'd get Allen Robinson involved more. And that just hasn't been the case. So, like I said, a touchdown-dependent flex play for me this week, and a very, 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 very big punt play, in my opinion.
Yeah, 5 targets apiece for Allen Robinson in weeks 2 and 3. He has less than 100 yards on the year total, like not just in 1 week, just over on the entire season, less than 100 yards. So until he shows you otherwise, he is a desperation start at this point. I don't think it's kind of like DJ Moore, right? You drafted him probably relatively highly, so you can't exactly start him. But anyway, that does it for our start sits. Matt, good luck. Best of luck with the London game, and I'll talk to you again on Tuesday for our Waiver Wire podcast.
Sounds good. Good luck, everybody, and can't wait to answer all those text messages.
Yeah, again, text us at 590-590 on the People's text line. You can also tweet us at SNS Alley with 2 L's at Maddie Mar 89. But thanks for listening to the Fantasy Show. Good luck, everyone, this week in week 4 across the NFL. We'll talk to you on Tuesday and again next Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show with Shoa Ali, Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.